Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome to Soul to Soul right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiefman, and we are celebrating Hanukkah. So, afreilichen, happy, joyous Hanukkah to everyone. We all know that Hanukkah is meant to be a time of warmth, of joy, of music, of laughter, of playing dreidel, of flickering lights in the dark windows, of all the joy and celebration that Hanukkah is meant to bring. And yet this Hanukkah arrives with real, very real pain. We're devastated by the horrific terror attack that happened at the Chabad Hanukkah celebrations in Sydney, Australia. And among the victims was a local South African rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Levitan, and there was a Rabbi Eli Schlanger, another colleague who I remember from my school days, although a few years younger than I, but we were in yeshiva together. And so many other innocent victims, children, senior citizens, just people who were going about celebrating Hanukkah. And today, as we are also trying to celebrate Hanukkah, we realize that an attack on the Jewish community of Sydney is actually an attack on Jews everywhere, regardless where we are, whether in Johannesburg or Germany. We're one people. We mourn together. And we will again celebrate together, my friends. And so today, the question so many are asking is, how do we celebrate Hanukkah now? How do we light candles when the world feels darker? And the truth is, Judaism's answer is both simple and brave. And that is, we add light. We have to add light. The Hasidic teaching is a little bit of light can dispel so much darkness in the world. And that is, we could say, the whole story of the Hanukkah miracle. The Maccabees didn't respond to darkness by hiding. They responded by lighting one flame and then another and then another. And that was the miracle. And that is what we do, especially now. So, my friends, before we continue, I want to remind everyone that tonight we will be gathering for our public menorah lighting, as we do every night at Hanukkah, at Santon Central Shul. But tonight we will be at Central Square in Santon by the Burger and Brew restaurant. And we want you to all come and join us. We're going to have free donuts for everyone who comes. There will be Burger and Brew. They're going to have specials on for everyone. We're going to have a big menorah lighting. We're going to have jumping castles and music and fun for everyone. So please do come, not in fear, not in defiance, but in faith. And don't worry, we've worked out the security arrangements. We have CSO on duty, and it's going to be tight security so everyone can feel safe. And the main thing is to make sure that we don't retreat from the darkness, but rather we are going to light our menorah and defeat the darkness. And with that in mind, I welcome back to our show today, live all the way from Krefeld, Germany, Rabbi Yitzchak Wagner, who was with us on studio not so long ago, about a month ago, just before Kristallnacht. He came here to speak and address the community, did a whole speaking tour in this country, and got to see you again in New York for the Kinnas HaShluchim. And it is a special honor to be with you again today. And Rabbi Wagner, the show is yours. So please, we'd love to hear from you about your experiences here. Talk about your impressions of the Jewish community in Johannesburg. Tell us about Jewish life in Germany, Hanukkah in Germany, and how the light shines even in places that were once defined by darkness. Rabbi Wagner, welcome back to Soul to Soul.
Thank you very, very much. I'm very, very pleased to be back on the show. Especially on this radio station, because before I got to know you, I didn't even knew that there is a Jewish radio station in South Africa, because we don't have that much knowledge about Judaism over there. But everything changed since then, and I became a big, big fan of Chai FM. And I was so happy that not that long ago, you made a fundraising for over, I think, 1 million rand, which was donated to get the station running. And I have an electric car, and I have internet in the car, so I can listen to Chai FM while driving the Autobahn. As you know, we can drive as fast as we want in Germany. And I feel very much connected to it. So I know all the shows, and yeah, it's a big pleasure to be on the radio station I'm listening to every day. I came back from South Africa with such an inspiration. It was just unbelievable. I mean, I have never been to Africa before. And when I came, I was a bit nervous because, you know, there are the certain things you think what's going to be when you come to Africa, how the people are going to react. You know, we know about South Africa's very difficult opinion on the state of Israel and what's going on with Gaza. Will the people be friendly to me in the airport? Will they, because of my kippah and the beard and the hat, will they be like nasty to me by the border? And how will the people react, you know, on the streets? How is the security like, etc., etc.? Is it, what kind of country is it? And everything, I was a bit nervous, and everything changed the second I was landing in Cape Town. I came to the border and I was greeted with a big smile, welcome to Africa. And I told the lady by the border, it's my first time in Africa, and she was so happy to see me. And everybody I met was just extremely friendly. So I had an Uber driver to take me home take me to the synagogue from the airport. And he was an African guy from Somalia. So we know Somalia is perhaps not the best friend of Israel. And it's a very complicated state, to say the least, in Africa. So he never met a Jewish person in his life, and he was a religious Muslim. So he was praying five times with everything a religious Muslim needs. And he was the sweetest Uber driver ever had in my life. And we became really good friends on this trip to Cape Town, that later, when I had more free time, I was looking for somebody to take me to the Cape of the Good Hope. So I asked my Somali driver to take me over there, and we spent all day together and discussing like politics, religion. And he was so happy that he said, you know, the people always tell me such bad things about the Jews, but you're the first, you know, Jew I'm meeting, and you're not that bad. And it was just very, very like I call this Moshiach moments, you know. That's the way I want Moshiach. When Moshiach comes, that's just the way it is, you know. Shalom aleichem, salam aleichem, aleichem salam. And this was just like a very, very beautiful start into Africa.
Incredible that you're building these bridges, Rabbi Wagner. We're going to need you back in South Africa to do some more work. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick ad break, and we'll be right back with Rabbi Wagner in just a moment.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And ladies and gents, don't forget that this evening we are once again going to light the giant menorah in Sandton. Unfortunately, we don't have such a giant menorah at Central Square, but we do have a giant menorah at the Sandton Central Shul. So be sure to pass by and see the menorah when you are in Sandton. But come to Sandton tonight. Burger on brew for you. And we got donuts free for every participant, and lighting the menorah with music, dancing, jumping castles, and lots of fun for the whole family. So don't miss the giant menorah lighting this evening at Central Square. Rabbi Wagner, so good to have you here with us. And we hope the weather in Germany is not too cold. Here we're in the middle of summer, a little bit of a rainy day. But let me ask you some questions, or maybe you want to present your thoughts. I'll just try to get... I know you started talking about your impression of the Jewish community here. So perhaps I should ask you if you could speak directly to the South African Jewish community whom you're addressing right here on Soul to Soul and Chai FM, who are listening to us here right now. What would you want them to know about how they were perceived through your eyes?
Wow, that's even difficult to put into words, you know? This community, I have been visiting communities all over the world. It was the first time in South Africa. I spent time in Cape Town. I spent time in Umhlanga, it's called, right? Next to Durban.
Umhlanga, that's where... See, right now, Joburg is deserted. Everyone's gone. Half the community is in Cape Town and the other half is in Umhlanga. So the only ones in Joburg are you and I here on Soul to Soul.
And then I met you in Joburg. And incredible friendly. Just an example, I walked into the it's called Hasidim Shul, right? The Hasidim Shul.
That's right. It's part of the Torah Academy community, correct?
Right. And I walked into the Torah Academy, And not one person passed by not wishing me good Shabbos. People were struggling. You know, you have a place for Shabbos to eat. Come to me, come to me, come here and there. Everybody, the children were standing in line to wish me hello. They just saw somebody is not from there. And the people were so warm and so open. It was such an, I didn't have even one, not even one negative experience. And unfortunately, sometimes there are places in the world, you walk into a synagogue, you sit down, everybody sees that you're not from there. Nobody greets you. You know, there are all kinds of places in the world, and South Africa is just, you know, the opposite. People told me beforehand that it's going to be very friendly, but I didn't think that it was that kind of an inspiration. A young, proud Jewish community, I think it's the beauty of the nature, which also has like a big impact on all the people living in this country. It was very, very inspirational. And I take this inspiration from South Africa. I took it back already to Germany. We have to bring the nice weather inside and outside to a country like here, where it's much more gray than Bayou.
Indeed. When you were here as part of your speaking tour, and you spoke in many places, including my own home and to our shul community, and you were speaking a lot, the time was Kristallnacht, it was a month ago, and obviously that's one of the darkest chapters of Jewish history. And obviously now we're celebrating Hanukkah, Festival of Light. So I wonder from, you know, how do you see the transition from remembering destruction as to where you live to actively lighting candles of hope? And how does that play itself out in life today as you see it as a rabbi serving the Jewish community in Germany?
There's no better example than taking Berlin, our capital. You have the Brandenburger Gate over there. Hitler was making his speeches against everyone, against the Jews, and the Hitler Youth were marching over there by the Brandenburger Gate. And every year Chabad comes to exactly this spot to place a 5 meter or even higher Hanukkah over there, and they celebrate together with the president of Germany, with all the politicians, with all our friends. And as you know, we in Germany, we still have this feeling of this energy of Yekish, you know, like making everything very precise. So even in Chabad, we look exactly the old pictures and the old videos because we want to see exactly the spot where Hitler was standing, making his speeches, and exactly on the spot where his 2 feet were standing, we place the Hanukkah over there. So just imagine you're a Jew in 1938, whatever, in this black days, and somebody would have told you that one day where this small guy is making his speeches of hate, you know, we place the Hanukkah and the Jews will be dancing over there together with the president of Germany. People would have not believed you. And, Baruch Hashem, that's the way, that's what we're seeing every year. Same thing I say, you know, the people speak to the people are speaking to the rabbis, and the rabbi is speaking to the people and he's telling them that Moshiach is coming, and same thing, people just don't believe him. But listen to the history, it's going to happen. Same as it happened here, it's going to happen for all of us everywhere.
Absolutely. And I could speak from personal experience. A couple of years back, I think it was 2011, when the Johannesburg Jewish Male Choir, that was one of my side gigs, I was part of that and sing in the choir. We were invited out by the German government to be part of the Lewandowski Music Festival. And the wonderful Evelyn Green, who was our conductor, and the late Russell Lurie, and a whole bunch of choristers. I don't know how many. We were like 30-something choristers. We were flown out to Berlin, and we had a most amazing experience sang at multiple locations, at shuls, at theaters, at music schools, and many, many places. And in our last night there, we got to see the menorah at the Brandenburg Gate and to watch and witness firsthand. It sent a chill up my spine to know that a place of such darkness, it's unbelievable how it was transformed to light. And obviously that's something very sensitive and important at the moment, to think about the horrific attack in Sydney that shook Jews everywhere. So I wonder, Rabbi Wagner, as a rabbi in Germany, how did you and your community react emotionally to what happened in Sydney? What was the reaction that people have had there, and how is it perceived, what's being done?
Every Sunday we have tefillin and bagels, and the attack happened during Shacharis. I just finished the Amidah, And I, for whatever reason, I saw on my phone, and I thought, what's going on? And we understood right away that it's something very, very bad. So we said Tehillim. But we couldn't imagine how bad it was in the beginning. We were under shock, really. And we're still under shock, meaning thinking about all, every day we're thinking about it. We get more horror stories out of it. We had our Chanukah event in town hall together with the mayor, the head mayor of the city. And when he made his speech and he told the story of this Holocaust survivor who tried to save his wife and he got killed, he started to cry. The mayor started to cry. And he said that he's so happy that the Jewish community did not cancel the event. And I told him, cancel the opposite, you know, we would never cancel, because if we cancel, you know, then we take away the light, and that's what the terrorists want. We have to bring more light. We have to make more Chanukiot outside. We have to bring more Chanukiot to the windows and get more Jews to do things, and not to show them that we're afraid, because that's exactly what they want. They want us to be afraid, not to have the kippah on the head, not to show to the outside that we're Jewish. If you do that, you follow what the terrorists want us to do. God forbid. No. We do much more. They tried to take out 15 lights. They took 15 lights out. We would put 1,500 new lights on. That's the only way to respond to terrorism.
So people, I mean, obviously there are certain fears that were opened up, but your response to strengthen the resolve to add more light is well received by the community, by the people who listen to you. And what kind of events have you had to celebrate Hanukkah in that way?
So far, we had just the event in town hall with the mayor and the press, and many people came. And we have Chanukah on ice, where the rabbi will try to do some ice skiing. I don't know how this will work out. And then we have the big Chanukah party in our community. But you're exactly right. You made a good point, because we have to take the light out and to be proudly Jewish. But we have to speak. We have to see what to do against this anti-Semitism. We have to be safe. We have to speak to the police. We have to get the state. And in Germany, they take it very seriously. For example, when we go ice skating, the police will be there. They will be there undercover. There will be a police car. So unfortunately, that's the reality. But still, this should not stop us. We have to do everything we can do in order to be safe. But God forbid, never to be locked just in the shul and not show anything to the outside.
For sure. You mentioned, Rabbi Wagner, that the response to hate is to be more Jewish and to add more lights. So I'm wondering, in Europe, and specifically in Germany, what does being more Jewish actually look like today? Is that an empowering message for your community? How are people accepting it? How are they embracing that?
The young generation is accepting it, meaning I feel that if, God forbid, something bad happens, more people come to shul because they're looking for the Jewish connection, because it's waking up their Judaism inside, which might be sleeping. And unfortunately, sometimes it's just bad things which is waking it up. We want it to be good things inspiring the people to come to shul, not bad things. You know, many people came after October 7th. More people came to shul than before. We don't need October 7 in order for people to come to shul and to feel more Jewish. We want good things to inspire the people. So I have a feeling that yes, it has the people have this feeling of, we don't give in to terrorism, you know, and we want to show publicly that we are Jewish. But on the other hand, you know, you also have those who say, you know, like, I'm afraid, you know, I don't want to be on the streets wearing a kippah. I don't want people to look at me, etc., etc. And we have to accept this opinion as well.
Absolutely. Certainly, it's not easy. And these are difficult times. And people understandably feel a sense of fear. And with strength and security as a community, as we have here, the CSO and certainly the police in Germany are there today to protect the Jewish community, unlike in the darker times. So that's certainly something that is important, and people should be reassured, but not to cower. Let me ask you, as a rabbi, where do you turn spiritually in moments like this? When words feel insufficient, you obviously mentioned the menorah being a source of light. I'm curious, what inspires you, Rabbi Wagner?
If I need like an injection of inspiration, I turn to see what the Rebbe said about times like this. And there was a video which I put also on my status on WhatsApp of Rabbi Kotlarsky. I think this was his response when this horrible attacks happened in India, which killed the Shliach and many people over there in the Chabad house in Mumbai, where he said that we are going to fight the terrorists. We are not going to fight them with machine guns and tanks. We have other people who do this, but we do it, like the Rebbe said, that a little light can transform a lot of darkness to light. And he said, and this is not a time for a little light, because our darkness is so strong. This is time for big torches of light, and we will have bonfires of light. And bonfires of light are our mitzvot, our deeds of kindness, helping other people, Havat Israel. And this is our response. And this gave me a lot of energy, which we try to give over to the other people as well.
Interesting. Now, I wonder, how do you feel the younger Jews in Germany carry the memory of the past differently than the older generation? Does this message of extra light, and especially today when you live in an era of social media, and we definitely live in different times, we're in a different country, but I feel like the borders are not so distant today. Maybe geographically it's still the same distance, but technologically it's so much closer to each other. How people, the younger generation, have taken this on?
In Germany, it's perhaps different from many other countries in the world, because we are dealing with perhaps 90% of Russian Jews. In my community, it's perhaps 98%. So their parents, their grandparents went through communist Russia, which tried to cut off every connection with Judaism. So for them, for many Jews, it's not so easy to feel too Jewish. That's our work as the rabbis, to reconnect them with who they really, really are. And once they feel this Jewish connection, then they start feeling what you said in the beginning. The attack in Sydney was not an attack on Jews in Sydney. It's an attack on all of us. But you have to feel, you have to get the feeling that you're part of this family. The Jewish people are like one body. If the little pinky hurts, you cannot say my brain is the brain, that's the most important. No, all the body will feel it. And that's the same thing. If it happens something in South Africa or in Sydney, in Germany, in wherever in the world, we are all connected. And before you have to feel and understand that if you want or if you don't want, it doesn't matter. It's just reality. You are part of this body called the Jewish people.
It's very interesting, because I went to Russia 25 years ago to conduct a Seder there as part of a Chabad mission. I was a yeshiva student then. And then later on coming to Germany. And I know that lots of Russian Jews from the former Soviet Union have settled in Germany, as you mentioned. And to many of them, they kept it quiet. Perhaps that's just a general Russian character trait, as one who has a Russian father I know quite well. But, while some people respond to anti-Semitism by becoming quieter, Hanukkah seems to teach the opposite. How do you explain that tension, and how does it play out there in your community?
You have to learn the story of Hanukkah. The biggest mistake is what many, many people do. They see Hanukkah as, God forbid, a Jewish version of Christmas. Our neighbors, they have their trees. We have our Hanukkah. They give presents. We give presents. That's not what Hanukkah is all about. It's the opposite. Hanukkah is the Maccabees fighting for their right to be Jewish, fighting against other people to tell us that we are not allowed to learn the Torah. The whole dreidel, it's a nice song. I spin my little dreidel, but the dreidel is a symbol of revolution, of resilience, Jewish resilience, fighting against the assimilation. Hanukkah is a festival of fighting assimilation and staying strong to the roots the Jewish people have for over 3,300 years. And this is Hanukkah. So we have to explain, we the rabbis, we do need to explain that it's a beautiful holiday and we all love latkes and we all love donuts and we all love sufganiyot and everything. But there's a much deeper reason why we are celebrating Hanukkah. Because if the Maccabees did not fight, we would be speaking Greek today on your show, and we were speaking about totally different things.
Well, I was going to ask you, forget about Greek. You started singing I Have a Little Dreidel. Maybe we could get a German version of that. But we have to take a quick ad break. But when we're back, maybe you want to share with us some of your special experiences in Germany, or maybe even some of your experiences when you visited us here in South Africa, that captures this idea of the light overcoming the fear of darkness. We'll be right back in a moment.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to Soul right here, 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiven, and it's great to be back with you here today. And we have a wonderful guest all the way from Krefeld, Germany. We have live Rabbi Wagner, and we wish Rabbi Wagner could join us tonight, but certainly you, if you're here in Joburg, if you are not on a holiday elsewhere, and that's an important message we have to remind ourselves. You know, where I come from, it's called vacation. Rabbi Wagner, how do you call a break in German? Is it also a Vakanz? What do you call it there?
It's called Urlaub.
Urlaub. Well, let's look.
Urlaub.
If we look at the Jewish word, the South African word for vacation, it is holiday. Does Urlaub mean closer to vacation or to holiday?
Yeah, it's a vacation. Is more in German. It's called Urlaub, meaning you have some fun and you know, you go to places like South Africa, for example. This I call Urlaub.
Well, nothing wrong with that. But the beauty that here in South Africa we don't call it vacation. Vacation implies that our time is vacant; it's empty. Whereas holiday means we're going to make every day holy and uplift it to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
So, if you're here in Joburg and you're looking for something fun to do and nice and to celebrate Hanukkah differently, then come join us at Central Square, which is in Sandton, for tonight's menorah lighting at 6:30 p.m. Bring your family, bring your children, bring your light, because when one candle is lit, another follows, and we hope that everybody will come to join us for the menorah lighting this evening. Rabbi Wagner, maybe tell us about the lessons, Hanukkah lessons you have in Germany. What was the question I asked you before we closed about Hanukkah? It doesn't have to be specifically Hanukkah, but just your own experiences of light overcoming darkness, overcoming fear in your experience there.
Light always wins over darkness. If you have like a huge room which is totally black, a little candle will show you the way. And the interesting thing is, it's not really a fight that like the light is fighting the darkness. If you think about it, light is not fighting darkness. Light is transforming darkness to light. That's what I said when I spoke about this Moshiach moments, you know, being together with my Somali Uber driver in the car on the way to the Cape of the Good Hope. You know, is this not a good, you know, the Good Hope together with a Somali Uber driver? That's it. It's not like a fight. It's like taking darkness, which people might have in their anti-Semitism, in their bad view, and transforming it into light. This is like a very powerful thing. And there's no better time than Hanukkah to have this on public. And what we have, let's say, in Düsseldorf next to Krefeld, they have the big car menorah parade. Like a lot of cars, and everybody has this Chanukiah on top, and they're driving through the German cities. And Baruch Hashem, it's very positive, and Chanukah is bringing a lot of light to the German dark streets.
Well, I think all our listeners here in South Africa and abroad need to know and hear that. Firstly, that the lessons you've taken here back home of the pride and the beauty of our South African community. But we also have menorahs in our cars here. It's a global phenomenon that was started and initiated by the Rebbe, that we don't cower, we don't hide, especially after fortunate events like what we experienced this week, that when something like what happened in Sydney, although it happens far away, I think we Jews feel it wherever we are in the world. We feel that pain. And certainly here in South Africa, we also had menorah lightings and the cars with menorahs. So perhaps, since you're talking about your Uber driver, the Somali, so we were both technically visiting here, but tell us more about something that you felt here that you picked up from the South African Jewish community taking back to Europe, the sense of warmth or the openness that you experienced here that you returned home with, that could give our local listeners some infusion of extra pride.
I think you can be very proud about the Chief Rabbi of South Africa.
Absolutely.
The Shabbos I was speaking was the Shabbos Project.
That's right.
Which is an inspiration all over the globe. And also in Germany. And I knew the chief rabbi from the many YouTube videos and clips online, but I've never met him before. And through my trip through South Africa, I understood how much good he did to the Jewish community over there. One of the things I knew about South Africa before I came was the crime issue. So you see, I'm not used to all these electric fences. I haven't seen a house without an electric fence, and everybody had his horror stories of getting kidnapped and people broken in, etc., etc. And I asked everyone, and everybody had a story to tell. But the people told me that since the chief rabbi, he took on the problem and he helped the community to get how it's called. You just mentioned.
Well, we have CAP Security and we have CSO, yeah. The Community Security Organization.
Yeah, and I understood it. It really made a difference in the security of the South African community. So I was very impressed by him getting the money, getting the influence, getting everything together in order to help the Jewish community. It's very beautiful if the community is represented by somebody as well as the South African community by the chief rabbi.
For sure. We could all be very proud of our chief rabbi. He makes global impressions, and certainly his response now to the Sydney attacks resonated with everyone, and he speaks truth to power in this country. So we're very grateful and blessed and privileged to have Rabbi Warren Goldstein as our chief rabbi. I would love to hear more from you about your thoughts, but let me ask you this. If the menorah could speak, what would it be saying to the Jewish people in Germany, in South Africa, and everywhere today?
If the menorah could speak, and by the way, we once made a children play where the menorah was speaking, you know, the night in the museum, or there's something like a film, you know, at night in the museum,
night
everything
at the museum.
Gets alive. Yeah, right. And we made such a play that, you know, somebody is in a synagogue and at night, you know, he's locked in and at night everything starts to speak. And we had the Chanukiah speaking there as well. And what the Chanukiah was saying, it was speaking about the story of Chanukah. It was speaking about hope, about never getting the feeling that you are just one person and one person cannot do anything, because we have so much of symbolism in the Chanukiah. First of all, as you just mentioned, one candle can lit 1,000 and 100,000 candles. It all starts with one spark of fire. You have one, like the Jewish people, you have one keli, one vessel of oil, which according to the laws of nature can burn just 24 hours. What happened? It burned for 8 days. These are the Jewish people. The whole world is looking at the Jewish people, say, hey, how you can survive all this? You know, we have a Holocaust in every generation, not just the Shoah. They try to kill us in every generation. And starts with soon starting the second book of the Torah. Too many Jews in Egypt. Pharaoh is throwing all the babies into the Nile. The Holocaust there as well. And after every Holocaust, we come out of it more strong than before. How this is possible? Do this to somebody else. The Jews are all point whatever of all humanity. And still, it's burning and burning and burning and bringing light and light and light. And nobody can turn off this fire. So the Chanukiah would tell us, you know, don't listen to the world. Don't listen, because if you don't listen, you don't follow the laws of nature. You will be above nature. You think you can burn 24 hours? You will burn as long as Hashem lets us burn. And we have a promise that the light will never be extinguished.
Absolutely. And that's a very powerful lesson. In fact, you know, when you spend money, you have less money in your pocket. When you give out, you bring a bunch of donuts to the Hanukkah party and people consume them, you've got less donuts. But the powerful message about the light is the light doesn't get diminished. The more light we share, the more it increases and nobody loses. We'll be taking one more quick ad break before the final minutes of our show, and then we will ask Rabbi Wagner to share with us some take-home lessons and messages, some closing remarks. We'll be right back in a moment.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to Soul to Soul right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiven, and it's great to be with you all here this afternoon. And we are live with Krefeld, Germany, with Rabbi Yitzchak Wagner, who's been fascinating us with his insights and stories and perspectives. My friends, we only got a couple of minutes left of today's Soul to Soul show, and I want to bring us back to something simple and powerful. In a world that feels noisy, painful, and uncertain, Judaism gives us one quiet instruction. As Rabbi Wagner emphasized, what transformed Jewish life in Germany since the darker days of the Shoah was the light. And that's a message to all of us here. Light a candle, not to solve everything, not to pretend the darkness isn't there, but to remind ourselves and the whole world that light is real. And tonight, I want to remind everyone that we are going to have this menorah lighting where you have a chance to be part of bringing the light to the darkness at Central Square in Sandton. Come with your family, come with your children, come with your friends, come even with your questions, come with your pain. Let's extinguish the darkness and let us be there together. We're not gathering because we're fearless. We're gathering because we are faithful, because the menorah doesn't retreat. It grows. And like Rabbi Wagner has been telling us. So Rabbi Wagner, before we conclude today's show, a couple of minutes remaining, maybe you got some closing thoughts. Maybe you want to tell us when Jews around the world light their menorahs tonight, Fifta Lichtel tonight, and lighting in South Africa or in Germany or anywhere. What do you hope that moment gives us, gives the world, gives everyone?
Tonight is a very special night of Hanukkah, where every night is special, but I think this night is the most special. Why? Because we will have more light on the Hanukkah than darkness. It's the fifth night. And so we have five candles lit. Now we made it into more light at the Hanukkah than darkness. That's another very big picture we have. I would love so much to be there. What you said, 6 o'clock?
6:30 p.m. Yes, come a little earlier for some music and donuts and jumping castles and fun for the kids. 6:15 will be Mincha and the menorah lighting at 6:30 p.m.
I wish I could be there. I'm just looking at the watch, but even if they would have nonstop flights from Düsseldorf to you know, I don't think I can make it. But perhaps for the 6th, well, then it's already Shabbos.
So we'll get you on the Concorde.
Perhaps with the Concorde even would be difficult because it's crazy. Akiva, we are both in the same, more or less in the same time. I think we're just because of winter time, 1 hour apart from each other.
Correct.
Even though you're on the other side of the earth. And I feel so much connected to South Africa, not just because of the beauty of South Africa and being in South Africa, but because also we have the same time frame. You know, I can speak to you in the morning and I don't have to be afraid that I'll wake you up. And this just makes a very beautiful connection. And since I was in South Africa, I made a whole community Meshug about South Africa. Everybody's asking questions and they all saw the pictures and they all heard the stories. So I really have to think about taking our community on a trip.
I have an idea. They must come for the Pesach retreat. They'll experience the original Pesach was also in Africa, and the other tip of Africa in Egypt. And now that they can experience Pesach in South Africa. We have a great safari Pesach retreat that will be worth their while.
Yes, and I have very nice warm remember from our trip to some safari things and seeing like the real African wildlife.
Absolutely. There's a lot more to be experienced. Rabbi Wagner, any closing remarks or thoughts you want to share with the community?
Keep on doing what you're doing. You are on the right track. You are an inspiration for everyone who's coming to visit South Africa. And the people, you are like a charging, like a charging station for inspiration. There, it can't be that somebody will spend a Shabbos in South Africa and he's not coming back transformed with more light, with warmth. And Baruch Hashem, keep on doing the good thing and everything will be fine. Everything will be good. Learn from the Brandenburger Gate. Nobody believed what's happening today in Germany. People might not believe Rabbi Akiva if he's telling you that Moshiach is coming very soon. Ah, what the rabbis are telling us. Listen, it's going to be, and Moshiach will be on your show and it will be a great show.
I can't wait for that show. Thank you, Rabbi Wagner, for those words and for joining us here on Soul to Soul today, for your warmth, for your clarity, for your faith, for your stories. My friends, Hanukkah reminds us that history doesn't belong to the loudest voices or the darkest moments, but it belongs to the people who keep lighting, not fighting, lighting. One candle, one home, one public menorah lighting. My friends, dedicate your menorah lighting to those we've lost, to those who are hurting, and for the unbreakable spirit of the Jewish people, because the light of the menorah has outlived every empire, every hatred, and every terror, and will continue to shine. Thanks for joining us here on Soul to Soul. Thank you, Rabbi Wagner. And my friends, remember, carpe diem, seize every moment. Remember, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, but today's a gift of God, which is why it's called the present. So aspire to inspire before you retire, so you will not expire. Happy, happy Hanukkah, and Shabbat Shalom to everyone.